Hello everybody, welcome to the 22nd episode of Vanity Project. We are going to dive into one of our most requested albums today with a very special guest. But before we get there, let me introduce you to my beautiful co-star. As always, joining us is the wonderful, the charming, the debonair, I've run out of words, James Cully! Yay!
Debonair.
The crowd goes wild. I'm also, I don't know if anyone can describe us as debonair right now. We're like in our pajamas and layers of winter woolies, but you know, we're trying to manifest that.
Exactly. This is a very wintry album. This is ScarJo, Anywhere I Lay My Head, a highly requested album, as highly requested as John Wayne's speeches were not requested and no one ever wants to hear it. So this is your reward for getting through the other side. First, I want to introduce our guest for this week. I'm sorry, this is unprofessional me. I should have looked up your Wikipedia or something. She's
been in How dare you?
Sapphires and Top End Wedding.
Never heard of it.
It's Miranda Tapsell.
Yay! Star of stage and screen, Miranda Tapsell. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on this.
We're honoured to have you.
She is one half of the baby we have made.
Well, look, however we got such a big get on the podcast, we'll never know. But we are thrilled to have you. And I think as well because, as James said, this album by Scarlett Johansson, obviously beloved actress, has been very much requested by some of our listeners. So who better to look at it with us than one of Australia's most beloved actresses? So I think it all works out. Let's start where we always start, with a bit of a chat just about the artists themselves. Miranda, do you want to start? What do you think of when you think of Scarlett Johansson?
I don't think of Scarlett Johansson as someone who would sing Nick Cavey or Tom Waits kind of. Like, remember when she came out, everyone was like, oh, she's the next Marilyn because she had the curves and all of that sort of stuff. Like, and she was kind of known for her deep voice and all of that sort of stuff. Like, she was sultry and The Girl Next Door and all of that sort of stuff. So for her to, like, release this album is, like, really bizarre to me.
Yeah, kind of at odds with the image. I feel the same. Like, when I think of her, I do think of glitz and glamour and those kind of Marilyn comparisons. I completely understand. She is so, I mean, her voice is one of, like, the most famous traits about her, right? And she's got a beautiful speaking voice. So I actually was really excited to hear how it sounds in the context of any song. But same, I thought, you know, like, oh, maybe it'd be something more like jazz standards or something like that. That's kind of where my brain sort of categorized her. So I'm actually quite excited to listen to this. James, what do you think?
She's in so many films I love. This is, like, the strange, Scarlett Johansson is one of those actors whom I wish I had not encountered in an era of Twitter and social media. Because if I had only ever seen her performance on screen, and that is it, I would be the world's biggest fan. It is knowing all the other things really takes me away. But even, like, Chef, you know, the SpongeBob movie, all classics. Hail Caesar, like the SpongeBob movie again. Like, it's incredible performances. I thought Miranda was the perfect choice for this album because Scarlett Johansson is, of course, married to a beloved American comedian whose own career is definitely overshadowed by the fact that his wife just happens to be in a bunch of movies. Delve into and just think about him, whose name escapes me.
Thank you so much for centering the man in this album by a female. I'm really, really thrilled.
I loved how Bridie's face just glazed over the whole time you said that. She just did not care.
Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live. He does the weekend update. Very good. The end of year special. It's great.
Actually, he is pretty funny.
I actually didn't know who he was, like, until she was pregnant. It was very funny. Like, I just didn't know who he was. Everyone was just like, yeah, she's married, and that's it.
What I don't think of is musician. But then, like you're saying, like, I would expect a smoky jazz hall musician. That's what I would expect and want. And honestly, when I heard album of Tom Waits covers, great. Really, really in my wheelhouse. Love some Tom Waits. Yeah. Feels like something that would suit you. There is no way this album could be highly disappointing.
I actually got really excited about the concept too. And to be completely transparent, I heard about this album many, many moons ago, but I haven't listened to it until this week. So I sort of was aware of its existence. And it kind of made sense to me, like, over the years that it's sat in my brain. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can kind of see how that's going to work. So I was excited to jump in. Before we get into the album, though, I did want to remind everyone listening, and you too, that there is a great musical association in my brain with Scarlett Johansson, because she's in the video for What Goes Around Comes Around by Justin Timberlake.
That is amazing. What, I know, like, I know that's what, I didn't know that she was a part of this. This is a recurring thing. Like, that, do you think that what happens in a lot of these is that the artist is in one music video and is like, do you know what? This doesn't look that hard. Maybe I could just do it.
Well, I mean, maybe. It has kind of been a recurring theme. It's popped up again and again that our Vanity Project case studies love themselves a music video.
Hey, before we move on any further in this podcast, there is something that I feel we need to clarify. Are we talking Johansson or Johansson? Now, I don't mean to trigger a civil war here, an Avengers civil war.
Fantastic.
But, is it? Which are we going with?
Well, no, I've said it both ways so far, which is ridiculous. I've covered my bases and I need to get off the fence. Do you know what it is, Miranda?
I'm more of a Yo girl. So I'd be calling her Scar Yo, because I call her Scarlett Johansson.
I think she would want it to be Yo and it's Joe. It's my view on it. It's her Mrs. Bouquet.
Yeah.
She would love to be Johansson. But it's Johansson.
Well, I've just done a quick Google and apparently it is indeed Johansson. Oh. But also, here's this. Obviously, she's been called Scar Jo by the media and by fans for a long, long time. But apparently she really dislikes that, calling it lazy, flippant and insulting. So maybe we should just refer to her as Scarlett.
Yes.
I like Scar Jo as a nickname.
Yeah, lazy, flippant and insulting is a bit of like a bit much in response. You've been called worse things, I assure you.
It's a very strong reaction to have, but I get the sense that this woman takes herself very seriously, hence why she has made such a serious album. This is the vibe I'm getting from her. Like, I've noticed on all the promotion of like the Marvel films she was in, she was able to like make fun of other people, but no one could make fun of her. And I was just like, I just thought that's so bizarre to me.
Miranda, do you worry that if like we speak negatively about this album in any way, it might ruin your chance of having Scar Jo play you in your biopic? Because we know she'd be open to the role. She would happily play you in your biopic.
I mean, like, it's all part of her craft, right?
She can be a tree. She can be an Aboriginal woman. It's whatever. She can do it. She can be Tom fucking Waits, apparently.
Well, shall we test if she can indeed capture the spirit of Tom Waits? Shall we get into it?
Yeah, so before we get, the first track is called Fawn and it's nothing. It's nothing.
Well,
it sounds like
when you say nothing, there's no singing on it.
Yeah, it's like an orchestra tuning their instruments, but if that orchestra was like Radiohead, so you just get like the wall of sound just kind of adjusting, which is a real like I'd say as far as mood setters go, not a bad mood setter, because it really got me in the mood of, oh crap, what have we signed up to here?
Well, I was so excited and anticipating hearing her sing for so long before listening to this album that I just kept sort of going, okay, and she's about to sing now. And then nothing for the whole track.
I kind of liked it because, I don't know, like, it just reminds me of, like, all the movies I watched where you'd go, like, the characters would walk into a gospel church and someone's, like, playing the organs and stuff, and you know, the African-American ladies with the big hats and the Sunday best walk in. I don't know, I it's kind of a weird image, but that's what...
All of those ladies played by
Scarlett Johansson. All of those ladies played by Scarlett Johansson.
Let's move on to Town with No Cheer. Town with No Cheer, Tom Waits cover, Scarlett Johansson. I'll start with my first thoughts. I never want to hear Scarlett Johansson say the word Adelaide. I don't care for it. Something feels wrong she should not know that Adelaide exists. She, like, fucking not know that Surviston exists, but, like, not know that Adelaide exists even. Victoria, borderline on Victoria existing, but it just felt incorrect to me that Scarlett Johansson existed in the same universe as Adelaide.
What did you think, Miranda?
She sounds bored.
Yeah.
She, like, when you...
It's because she's in a town with no cheer, though.
Well, that is true. Yeah. She is in Adelaide. But...
She's in Surviston. Surviston is the town. Yeah, with no
okay,
cheer.
Yes. Sorry, Adelaideans. I was just being cheeky. But no, I think she's trying too hard to do the voice. You know what I mean? As opposed to like capturing the feeling of, like, when you listen to Tom Waits, there's sadness, there's, you know, he's going through every emotion in the song that he's written. I don't know. I just have a feeling she's like working really hard to hit. She's being very technical about it. If that makes sense, and it's like,
yeah, because it doesn't feel like Tom Waits. Like, Tom Waits feels like at his best. Tom Waits feels like generally the drunk at the bar has stumbled up to the piano. And, oh my God, he has a beautiful voice and he's telling you the stories of his time. This...
Yeah, but even that, I mean, I think maybe no one should do a Tom Waits album until you've, like, chain-smoked for 65 years and lived and seen things. I'm being serious, because he doesn't have a beautiful voice. He has a stunning voice. It's a striking voice, but it's not beautiful. It's not technically perfect, and that's kind of what makes it land so much when you listen to his music, you know? I don't actually have anything to add, you know, lyrically or thematically with the song. All that my music brain was thinking when I was listening to this is just that the mix is so weird. She's not really cutting through. So I actually didn't get, like, a lot of impact from this first time that you hear her sing. And actually, that's going to be a common theme of many of the mixes on this album.
My first note is take a step closer to the microphone. That felt like a lot of there's a lot of just whimsy and ethereal, like, it's emo Enya. I don't know. Like, what's the good space that we're hitting here? That it's like, it's just a whole lot of almost something but nothing. And, like, I can feel the sleeve stockings and shit on going on here. This is like wearing an elaborate period costume to your year 10 formal. This is what you wear when you get dressed.
Yeah, and I think that's fair.
And, like, at least with Enya, you're like, oh, like, I don't understand what she's singing, but, like, it's very calming and I can sit in the bath with some lavender oil and calm down. But, like... like, to get no meaning out of this, like, you either have pretty sounds and, like, you know, whimsy, or you have heart, you have story. I don't know. I'm one of the other type of people, you know.
I agree.
I think this is a good point that, like, like, we need to go to the fundamentals here. Why do you do a Tom Waits cover album? And part of it is you want people to know you like Tom Waits, therefore you are deep and you are thoughtful and you have this darker inner side. This feels like it has sanitized all the kind of darkness from it and made it the kind of music you would play under a trailer for a Channel 10 drama. Like, this is... this is, you know, Claudia Carvin is moving back to the town that she left 20 years ago, and now she's a successful doctor.
James!
That's funny! I can tell you, though, I can tell you why she's done this. In her own words, she says, "That's how the album came about. I'm not trying to prove anything on this album. I'm not trying to impersonate Tom Waits."
Good news, you have not. You have not proved a single thing.
"I just love his music." Which is fair. I love his music too. But you know what? We'll get into the next track. Even though, you know, what we've just said, we're about to be joined on track three by a very, very big Hall of Fame guest. So I think hopefully we are in for slightly more cut through and impact with this next one. This is Falling Down featuring David Bowie.
Don't ask silverware.
Down with Miranda Tapsell this summer on Channel 10.
Shut up, James.
Still, I'd watch it.
Oh, thank you, Braddy.
Can she win back the heart of VFL Grand Final winner, Chongi Fussell?
James, sink your own ship. Miranda and I still want to work in TV, okay? Yes. You might not want to write big dramas, but Miranda and I want to be in them. Can you shush? Yes,
that's right.
I get the feeling I'm going to be in a big drama right after this recording.
So immediately when I heard this song, again, I'm not thinking so much so far about, well, not lyrics, because there's songs that, you know, have been around for a long time. But just about, you know, the mix and themes and all that stuff. Again, not so much for this one, because immediately I was like, what is happening? How is David Bowie doing backing vocals on this track? So I looked it up, and apparently Scarlett Johansson had met David Bowie at a party, and he had heard that she was working on an album with a producer from TV on the Radio. And they had a whole big chat about it. And then Scarlett went away to film something in Europe and got a phone call from her producer saying, "You won't believe it, but David Bowie has just dropped by the studio to lay down some backing vocals for two of the songs on the album, so we're going to hear another one." Isn't that cool?
That's so cool.
What do you think Bowie's motivate? Like, do you think, like, I don't think Bowie heard about this project and went, "This is going to be a great album, I have to be a part of it." Like, I think it is a, do you know what? If I go ooh for half an hour, I get to be the first one to listen to this, and that's great dinner party banter forever.
It's, I have a feeling too that it's like, it was in his best interest to back her as well, because it's like, she was such a big deal at the time, right? Which is why she was able to release the album. So I can understand it was great for him too.
Should we talk a little bit about where she was at in her career at this point? So this is pre-Avengers. The Avengers are but a twinkle in her eye.
Yes. So when this album was released, it's 2008. Great year. So she's definitely a big star by that time. Mm-hmm. She'd already done Lost in Translation. That was a few years before. I think she'd done...
And that feels like peak ScarJo, yeah? Like, do we all agree, like, Lost in Translation is where the whole world... Like, she's obviously a star before then, she's a star after then. But Lost in Translation is the apex mountain of, like, this is ScarJo.
Yeah, but I think so. Like, that's what I think of. And I also think of around that time was Girl with a Pearl Earring. Like, there were lots of big roles, lots of lead roles at this time. Yeah, I don't think Marvel came for a few years after she released this album. But she was already very well established, had a really big fan base, hadn't been involved in too many scandals yet. so that's good.
This would be so funny if this was the album playing at the bar in Lost in Translation. That Bill Murray is stirring his drink and looking sad towards the stage while ScarJo sings Falling Down, a Tom Waits cover. with David Bowie just there at the back of the stage being weird.
Yeah, that feels like it. There's an alternate timeline where that's exactly what happened.
It makes me feel better. As a lover of David Bowie, it makes me feel a lot better to imagine him as a gossipy little bit. Like, I want that. But I don't want a super professional at all times Bowie. I want a scandalous Bowie.
You don't want someone who's supporting people making forays in the music industry. You want a gossipy little bit.
Yes, that's what I want.
Why do you think, if you're at this point in your career, why do you think now is the time that she decides to release a Tom Waits cover album?
I wonder because, like, up until then, she's, like, so she's in like, the Black Dahlia and the Prestige and the other Boylan Girl. So all of these hits, right, but where she's the hottie. And I have a feeling she wanted to... I don't know, maybe I'm just making assumptions, but, you know, to do a project completely different from the stuff she's done will not only help her grow, but people will be able to go, oh, wow, she's more than just...
Yeah, it's an emotional depth play.
Yeah, she's more than just a hot piece of ass.
That's interesting, because I think you're right, and I was trying to think, like, if this happens now, what is it? And I keep thinking, like, just the feel of this album, I keep thinking I'm listening to Evanescence deep cuts. Like, the Scarlett Johansson Evanescence album.
I feel as if, like, she has been... She wants to... Because she also did Ghost World, so she's like, no, I'm alternative, you know what I mean? Like...
Right. I think that's a big of it. The alternative push is huge. Like, it's not just... I am not just a superstar. I am cool.
Yeah, but I think this is what's... And this is why I started to wonder, because I kept thinking, why is it that singers can transfer seamlessly into acting, like J-Lo and Beyonce and what have you? But what is it about actors that they can't do the same thing the other way?
So this is a favorite topic of Vanity Project, but we've never had like a professional actor on to talk us through this. Like, why? Like, firstly, importantly, do you have a Vanity album in you? Why do you think it will be a disaster?
I think it'll be a disaster because I'm constantly trying to find roles I haven't played before. Whereas, like, I don't know, maybe from what I've seen in the music industry, like J-Lo and Beyonce are trying to stay, like, what's the word?
Like, you pick your character
consistent.
And you stay in it.
Yeah, you pick your character, you stay in it. Yep. And that's your image. Like, that's who you are. That's like, and it's true. Like, you see Beyonce's silhouette, you know exactly who it is. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, yeah, I think a lot of actors try and use it to show a different. Like, they're trying to be inconsistent, and they're trying to go, "Well, I threw you another curveball. Like, I'm doing something different." And a part of me is just like, no, like. No, you've kind of got to be a package when it comes to music, and you've got to be consistent with what you've presented. That's, I don't know, maybe that's just me.
Because a lot of the Vanity albums so far has been like, this is the real me. And we can say for this out, this isn't the real me, but it does have a real sense of like, here's what I'm into. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, this isn't a pop play. And credit for that. Like, you think Scarlett Johansson could have put out, it's 2008, put out some dance track or something in that world, and it would have gone fine. You give her two highly produced lines in the chorus and fucking Fat Joe there to throw a line back and forth or whatever. Like, it would be fine. But she has gone for something artistic and a concept and interesting But I think also with that comes the, no, I'm going for something artistic and a concept. And that concept is, what if a girl liked Tom Waits, but a hot girl liked Tom
But also,
Waits?
Like, I want some of her Americanness because, like, I, you know, there's so many people that I look up to, like Nora Ephron, Julia Roberts. But I don't kind of go, oh, I'm going to be exactly like Julia Roberts or I'm going to be exactly like Nora Ephron. You know what I mean? Like, I just, yeah. I don't try and, like, it's really hard to try and emulate the person that you admire. But she's got the balls to do it. You know what I mean? She's kind of going out there and going, you know what? I like Tom Waits. I'm going to sing songs. I'm going to do covers of Tom Waits.
Yeah. Well, could have been a concert, though, couldn't it?
I mean,
could have been a concert at the bar.
Yes.
This would be the best. Again, it's like an exclusive night in LA.
100%.
Like if you were in the room, like Scarlett Johansson is going to play an exclusive small cafe bar in LA and it's a Tom Waits album. And she comes out even with this, which is weird and not as a Tom Waits fan, what I want to hear, what I would love to hear are Tom Waits songs that sound like Tom Waits songs, but be that as it may, this is an interesting evening.
Yeah,
I would spend an evening.
I'd go to Silver Lake with all the hipsters, you know what I mean?
100%.
Like, it'd be a great night out. You'd have some vegan food, and then you'd go to this gig. It'd be
and
great.
And you'd talk about it for years
You
to
have
come.
Those Negronis that they just keep in a giant jug under the bar so they pour in like 3 seconds and innocent Australians can't monitor their alcohol intake.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Yep. James, it's okay.
So the next track is Anywhere I Lay My Head, but like the album itself, doesn't really have that much of interest to it. So we're going to move on to Fanning Street.
Don't go down to Fanning Street.
That was Fanning Street, a place I can't wait to go down to.
It's like nails on a chalkboard for me. I'm so sorry. It's like, I can't, like, I'm sorry. It's just, like, if she sounds that disaffected, a part of my soul thinks, why am I bothering? Why am I bothering to listen to this?
Yeah.
It is funny to be cooler than the song you're on. Like, a lot of this is like, do you hate this? Do you hate doing this?
And Tom Waits wasn't too cool for these songs. They were felt deeply. That's why the song had to come out of him.
The coolest person ever was not too cool for this.
This kind of vibe has really come back into vogue, like with Billie Eilish and like, I'm the bad guy. Like, you just, it's just like, and she's always got that half kind of closed eyes. And I'm just like, girlfriend, you're going to go sleep? Like, what's happening? Like, it's the same thing. I'm like, ScarJo, if you're tired, like, go lie down. You know, I can't. I can't cope with this.
It's so
but
fair.
But also, like, I think you've hit a good point where Tom Waits' songs are about feeling things so deeply. Like, The Heart of Saturday Night is my favourite Tom Waits album.
Beautiful
and
song.
It's every song, you hear his heart breaking in some different way. I haven't felt an emotion yet. We are so many tracks in, and I can't tell a single thing you're feeling other than the amenities on the border between South Australia and Victoria are not what you would want.
Out of all the tracks so far on the album, I probably like this one the most. I don't particularly love it, but like, I don't mind it. It's got that kind of nice dreamy vibe, which I think I could take as a single, but the whole album is awash with this kind of very dreamy, indie feeling that I just can't quite pin any emotion to it at all. David Bowie also features on this song, and these are the two songs that he lended his voice to on this album. When the album came out, he said, the songs are great, really good Tom Waits stuff, and Scarlett's performances are mystical and twice cool. he then goes on to play down how much he contributed, being like, I've seen the press on this. I suppose the record company wanted to spin my involvement. All I do are oohs and ahs on a couple of tracks, which is kind of funny. I think mystical, though, the word that he used there, is kind of a good word. It is very mystical and dreamy, everything so far to me. But I feel like it's just washing over me, this whole album.
Yeah,
I swear to God, if this was the whole soundtrack to Marriage Story, I'd be throwing furniture around. I'd just be like, oh, my God, get a divorce already. Just,
yeah. Well, look, the next song is called Song for Joe, or maybe it's Song for Yo. Who knows? Mm. It's absolutely impossible to tell at this point. This is the only original. It's the only original. So let's give it a whirl.
That was Song for Joe. How are people getting further away from the microphone? Come closer. Come closer. I would love to hear what you have to say on this track.
It is not to do with the singing. It is all to do with the mix. This is a problem across the whole album, and it's actually been remarked on in a lot of the reviews of it. The mix, I don't know, like, maybe this is the least vain vanity project we've covered, because she's very happy for the other instruments and the arrangements and the mix to kind of, you know, take the driver's seat a little bit. But I just feel like I'm just getting lost. I can't really connect emotionally to the lyrics, which of course are excellent because of that.
Mm.
And there's a bit of like Tom Waits songs aren't the most, like, they're musically varied, but they're not the most flourishing. Like, you have to listen to all the different melodies and all the different lines of music. A lot of the time, it is like
piano and voice.
Piano slog as well, like recurring deep chords while he spells out a story that's happening. And this, like, when you put that music to the forefront, it's not a lot there.
The producer of the album is from TV on the Radio. He's called David, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Sitek. He described the vibe of Scarlett Johansson's voice and performances and the album generally as Tinkerbell on cough syrup, which I kind of think is spot on. I think that's really...
That's a better title the album, too. I love it. I think
that's great. But I just think that is spot on, but it just becomes a bit repetitive when that's the vibe of every track.
Absolutely. Like, this is one of the, like, rare Vanity Pro. We have this every so often where I get tracks in and I have to go back and be like, did I listen to this track? Did I skip it? Because every track is the same track.
Yes. I've got good news, though. The next track, I think, is the most sort of Waitsian arrangement so far. This is Greengrass.
Greengrass, Scarlett Johansson. You're right, Bridie. This actually has some movement, some fun to it. Even then, it's still, like, weirdly disaffected. Mm. It's still weirdly, like, I don't, like, I'm too cool for this song that I'm singing. But I like the music of this track, at least.
Yeah, I like the movement. I like the arrangement. I just don't really have much else to say about it, which is kind of a common theme for most of the tracks. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, here's a thing, but I haven't actually really been able to give much deep analysis on any track because I'm just not feeling drawn into any of them.
I would say that, so this album is one of our most requested, and it's also one of the most talked about, and it is talked about as a disaster, like particularly in the Vanity Project celebrity album circles, this album is thought to be like catastrophic miss. I would say I'm disappointed by just how one note boring it is. I was hoping for a couple more swing for the fences misses.
Yeah.
Like, you know, give Brie Larson her flowers. She tried some stuff.
100%. Yeah. And they write movies about disasters and headlines about disasters. Yeah. Like, at least disasters are interesting. This, you know, like, I don't think this is a disaster at all. I think it's just a bit safe and boring.
Yeah.
It is fucking Beautiful Awkward Pictures by Toni Collette over again. It is the same feeling as that one, except, you know, one had a production budget and the other was done in Marrickville.
Ooh, like if you could only listen to one and you had to, which one would you pick, Toni Collette?
Beautiful Awkward Pictures, because it's a good time.
Yeah.
Like, this is just... I can get depression from better albums.
Well, that track, you guys just played, I loved that it was just different from everything else.
Yeah.
And that it had a, like... It had
that's,
a different
but that's
rhythm.
The bar now. Some yes. variants. Like, any variant in any aspect of the song is like, oh, you've done something.
But also, what really interests me as, like, ScarJo being an artist is, like, why wouldn't you allow yourself to be vulnerable? Like, you did it in Jojo Rabbit. You've done it in, like, so many other of your films, you know, you were vulnerable in Lost in Translation. Like, music is about putting your heart on the line, and you know how, like, she knows how to do that. And I was just like, why couldn't you take that leap and make yourself as vulnerable in your singing as you do in your acting?
It's a good point. Like, there is no vulnerability here. It's so, so sanitized.
Or if there is, we just can't hear it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any more, so can we pick one track that we like?
Yes. I have a suggestion. Okay, I feel like a lot of the remaining tracks... Like, we have the literal, the literal bells and whistles that we've been listening to with the sound effects and all of that, which is fine and nice and dreamy to a point, but I'm a little bit over it now. But there is one song which is kind of fun and features a drum machine, which always is like, I love that song immediately if it's got a drum machine in it. That's number 9 on the album. I Don't Want to Grow Up. Let's hear that.
That's the same one I want to do. Yep, let's do it. That was I Don't Want to Grow Up, Scarlett Johansson, a good song.
I enjoyed it.
I would like, she comes through on it. She feel like it feels like something.
Yeah.
It's a song, and, guys. We got to
and
a
like,
song.
You know Sofia Coppola's husband, he is the lead singer of Phoenix. Yeah, you
yeah,
know
personally,
him. Like
yeah.
you go way back, yeah. like Phoenix, I think, has like a big part of Sofia Coppola's movies, and you hear Phoenix throughout Lost in Translation, and it kind of makes me think ScarJo would really suit that kind of indie rock kind of
yeah
she
could play Listomania.
She can,
like,
totally.
Like, yeah. I can see her doing that kind of stuff. So if she does another album, ScarJo, This is my personal request. Your next album needs to be with Phoenix. Like, get him to produce it, work with Sophia, like, sing these songs.
That's a good
I
shout.
I think that is spot on, Miranda, because there's no denying she's got a nice voice. It's tuneful and it's got great texture, but it's just not been, like, properly applied. I think that's a great shout from you.
Yeah. Well, now that we've solved the album, should we go through our final markers and ask, firstly, which songs from this should you, I Don't Want to Grow Up, put on the playlist, I Don't Want to Grow Up, Vanity Project podcast playlist, I Don't Want to Grow Up. Any suggestion for any song we should put on this?
Oh, you know what? I reckon we should put I Don't Want to Grow Up.
I was thinking Fawn.
Right?
Can we
I think as well we should probably pick one of the tracks that features David Bowie, which means we can pick from Fannin Street or Falling Down. Do you have a preference, Miranda? Fannin Street or Falling Down?
Ooh, hard choice. I think Fannin Street.
Great, let's do Fannin Street, which I also just went back and listened to. Actually, maybe that's a marker of this. After listening to this album, I just went back and listened to a bunch of Tom Waits because I was like, oh, I miss Tom Waits, but I didn't, no offense. I just didn't want to listen to this cover version of Tom Waits again. I wanted Tom Waits undiluted.
Similarly, when I finished this album, I've listened to this album more than any of our other Vanity Project albums because I was never convinced that I had actually listened to this damn album.
100%. It kept
disappearing from my brain. And I would look down the track order. I would have listened to this album 3 times and look at the track order and be like, I don't know any of the songs. Have I heard this song? Which one was this? Which one's that? Even now, I'm not confident we've done any tracks.
And part of that is because, to be fair, she's picked some deeper cuts of Tom Waits. Pardon me, she hasn't gone for all of the, you know, the most famous songs. So that's cool. So some of them I was like, oh, I don't know this one. Have I heard it? But then I quickly had the same thing of like, have I heard it? Have I heard it several times? But it's such a dreamscape of an album that I don't know.
Before we get out of here, let's ask our most important question. Miranda, was this album a mistake?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. ScarJo's never going to work with me, but it doesn't matter.
James, was this album a mistake?
Was this album a mistake? Yes. Yes, it was. Because it's not good. And that is why it was a mistake. Bridie Connell, was this album a mistake?
Nah, we all have hobbies, and if your hobby is, you know, doing Tom Waits covers in a dreamy indie way, good on ya. I won't listen to it again, but it's not a mistake, and it certainly hasn't hindered
me. You're allowed to have a side hustle. You're allowed to explore different parts of your creativity.
Vanity Project simply loves a girl boss.
Yeah.
It's so funny to think of this as her side hustle. She needed to make a few more dollars.
Yeah.
Just put out a Tom Waits cover album. And then do a TikTok video being like, you won't believe how easy it is to earn money while you sleep. You just need to record 9 Tom Waits songs. They don't even have to be good. And then put them on Spotify and you're rich.
Well, that brings us to the end of the album and yet another episode of Vanity Project. Thank you so much, Miranda, for lending your ears to this to the album and your voice to our podcast. We really appreciate it.
Look, I just was glad I was here to help you guys through it, you know? It's
thank you. Moral support.
Moral support.
If you enjoyed the show, all you have to do is go on to the app that you listen to it on, and then you rate it or review it, which is easy to do.
With feeling.
Rate and review the show if you would like. I personally don't give a rat shit.
Okay, thank you so much. See you next week.